first-time guest, outstanding young journalist, brings so much more than just sports knowledge to the table. She covers the New York Liberty WNBA for a Bleacher Report. She's a grad of the University of Rochester. Her Twitter handle is at ClassicJPow. She's repping the 914. We welcome in Jackie Powell. Jackie, much appreciate the time. How's life treating you in the Big Apple these days?
Life is treating me okay. Thank you for having me, Steve. I unfortunately got COVID, and so I'm at the ending stages of it, which is great. But I covered the Final Four in Minneapolis, I believe, when that was. That was like a week and a half ago. And a large group of us got it, so including me. So I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there.
I guess, you know, it's best that you get it now when everybody, well, at least when you're vaxxed up. Jeez, that's scary. Okay, Jackie, that's a nice curveball to start us out with. wishing you well.
Yes.
So how about a little personal background? I mentioned where you did your undergrad. Curious where you're from. Was there a player, a team, or a family member that got you into sports? And how long have you been with Bleacher Report?
Those are two great questions, and I will try to be as less detailed as possible because I know we only have limited time. So for me, actually, sports didn't come via basketball initially. It was, I got into them because I was a huge baseball fan. And it was, my father taught me the game of baseball. I played softball when I was a kid. I'm a huge Boston Red Sox fan. And initially, I wanted to get into sports via baseball. And I found that it wasn't the space for me, which is fine. And then I realized I had a fascination with the intersection of sports and society and politics and race. And it occurred to me that the WNBA was the professional league in this country that was addressing those intersections the best. And it was a space where I felt like I could be really accepted and included for who I am and who I want to be in this space. So that's the introduction there when it comes to how long I've been with Bleacher Report. So actually, I'd like to add that when I cover the league more broadly and nationally, I do my coverage at Bleacher Report, but my specific Liberty coverage, my beat coverage, is done at an independent newsroom. It's called The Next Hoop.
Right.
And so what we do is we try to provide the most detailed and diligent women's basketball coverage there is. Because as we know, women's basketball coverage or women's basketball is undercovered. So at The Next, we have someone who covers every single WNBA team. So I cover the Liberty for them.
That's awesome. And of course, the thing that struck me as humorous, being a North Jersey guy, I happen to be a lifelong Yankees fan. So we're a heck of a match, Jackie. You know, in your bio, I was reading you cover the BTWF Foundation, which I purposely picked that bumper music from Lady Gaga.
I loved it.
Yeah, you know, when people think of this year's Oscars, they think of Will Smith, but I thought just the empathy and decency that Lady Gaga showed interacting with Liza Minnelli. She's always had this humanity about her. Jackie, what could you tell us about that organization and the very important work they do?
Yeah, I mean, I've been volunteering and involved with the Born This Way Foundation since 2018. And so what they do is it's very much so reflective of the type of person Lady Gaga is and exactly what you express. This idea of expressing humanity and, you know, being quite brave. Because to be quite honest, what Gaga did and how hard that was to do, to accept Liza Minnelli for who and what she was at the time, it was very difficult. So what the Born This Way Foundation does is it specializes in mental health education for youth and for LGBTQIA folks. That's really where, or the type of work that the foundation does. And what it looks to do is provide resources for people who maybe didn't have mental health resources years ago, or providing resources now for young people in school. So that's what the Born This Way Foundation does.
No, it's amazing. I was fascinated. The more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. As we continue, Jackie Powell, a Bleacher Report, and more. I want to talk about Sabrina. Her rookie year, obviously cut short by injury. Last season, they made the playoffs, kind of snuck in 8 games under .500, lost that gut-wrencher against Phoenix. Obviously, she was the first pick in her draft. So, Jackie, how would you evaluate Sabrina's 2 years with the Liberty, finally getting a full season in last year?
So if you would ask Sabrina yourself, she would probably tell you that she doesn't count last season as a full season, and she did not feel 100% healthy during that season. I think I listened to a podcast she did. I think it was with Showtime's Basketball Pod, and she sort of said, for a lot of last season, I felt like I was playing on a wooden leg. It was the type of thing where she got into basketball activities maybe a little bit too quickly. And I think it was something that she really learned and reflected upon. In the middle of last season, I want to say she was out for maybe 5 games.
Right.
She had ankle tendonitis with that left ankle that she had that third degree sprain on. And she looked a lot better after she rested and after they put her in a boot, but it wasn't a complete season. And you saw maybe spurts of the Sabrina Ionescu that you expect. So I think year three is going to be pivotal, because there are people out there who maybe believe that she's not who she was advertised to be. And she addressed the critics on this podcast I listened to. She said, after that triple-double I had against Minnesota, and when my ankle started to hurt again, the haters started to question, who she is and the type of player she's going to be as a pro.
And, of course, we here in Eugene earlier in the week were glued to the draft, thinking it might be possible. Then after Indiana took Louisville's Emily Engstler at 4, the commish called Niara Sabali to New York. So, Jackie, fair to say, it wasn't a surprise a lot of the mock drafts had her going to the Liberty. But how much of a fit is she? Because it seems like they had a need for a big post player who can score inside.
They absolutely did. They had a definite need, and they don't just want a post player that can score inside. They want a post player that is versatile and that has skills outside of just scoring on the block. And that's exactly what you get from Niara. She's very agile, very mobile for her size at 6'5", and I think that's what very much so appealed to the Liberty. And she can also score pretty easily in transition. She's got pretty good speed, again, for her size. She can handle the ball. She can shoot from deep when she has the open shot. She's the type of big, she's the type of center that the Liberty desire.
Now, as we continue with Jackie Powell talking some Liberty, obviously now the new favorite WNBA team of Duck fans, but one of the reasons that they got Sabrina is because they were terrible. Then they parted ways with Coach Walt Hopkins, hired Sandy Brondello, played in the league, won a title as a coach with Phoenix. So, Jackie, what's the buzz about bringing in Sandy as this franchise, tries this to continue this upward trajectory?
I think part of the idea here was, the Liberty got quite lucky because Sandy was let go in Phoenix, which wasn't really expected. I mean, she took that team to the WNBA Finals in 2021, and it was quite miraculous how she did it, because that team was not deep at all. It had stars, it had talent, but it wasn't as deep as the team she now inherits from Walt Hopkins. And the idea here was general manager Jonathan Kolb wanted a coach with experience. Something that I noticed covering the Walt Hopkins era was simply that he really struggled handling the adversity that hits WNBA coaches every year. And what I mean by that is adversity when it comes to injuries. What I mean by that is when a team loses focus, the lack of accountability that I noticed. When Sandy Brondello's former team, the Mercury, struggled, what I noticed was that she always took the blame. She referred to herself and the team as a unit together. And so the Liberty, they want to win. They're sort of at an interesting point where they want to win now. They want to be in the playoff conversation, and I think they have the talent to be. But also, they very much so believe in player development. That is part of who they want to be known for.
A couple final thoughts. I mean, you look at that draft, especially the high end, and dare I say, you could catch fever. Indiana with the 2, 4, and 6 picks. Lexi Hull, who we saw just outstanding at Stanford. And you wrote about it after the draft with Nalissa Smith from Baylor. I mentioned Angster earlier, who hails from Queens, by the way. But So what about that haul for the Fever, as you know, now they're trying to climb out of the basement?
So what I will say is that the Fever, they had the right approach, and their interim general manager, Lynn Dunn, she knows what she's doing. She knows that to rebuild a team, it starts with the draft. It starts with acquiring young talent. And so she did something very similar to what New York did in 2020. I was very surprised that Lexi Hull was chosen at 6. And this isn't because I have anything against Lexi Hull. I think she is quite an interesting prospect. I think she has pro-level intangibles. And what I mean by that is she's so sharp and incredibly smart.
Yeah.
And her competitive toughness and just competitive spirit is at the pro level. The question, and this is why I didn't think she would go in the first round, was more about her physicality and her ability to absorb contact from players that are much stronger and bigger than she is. That was sort of the concern, the fact that she may not have a pro-ready body yet. But the Fever were very open about how much they liked her, and they believed that she was the best shooter in the entire draft. And that was why they chose her at 6, because they did not believe she would be available at 10, which was their next pick.
And lastly, I was fortunate enough to have the third-year commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, on the show last summer. You know, she was a superstar.
Oh, cool.
She was a superstar in the corporate world who just shattered glass ceilings. Actually, a pretty fair player in her day. She played for Muffet McGraw at Lehigh. So she got the collective bargaining agreement done, better TV deals. So what's your read, kind of the buzz of the job she's doing? Because it seems like the league is getting better exposure and growing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think anyone could be doing a perfect job. I think that's impossible. But I think what Kathy has done is she has proven how much she cares about the growth of the league. I think there hasn't been a commissioner before her. She's the first commissioner. And I was talking to a colleague who said, I believe she is the best person doing this job since Val Ackerman, who I believe was the first president of the league when it was established. So that says a lot. And the reason that I believe that she has, been quite successful is because of all that she has successfully undertaken in her 3 years. And there are some people who become commissioners of sports leagues that don't have to go through the type of roadblocks and difficulties that she's gone through. I mean, you mentioned the CBA that she signed in early 2020. But then she also helped the league function in a bubble season in Florida. And then she oversaw how the league went through a second COVID season in 2021. And she instituted a commissioner's cup. And so now what she's doing is, now that we've got more of a handle on the pandemic, what she's looking at doing is she's creating a more lucrative and stronger financial model for WNBA owners or governors. And this is something that she actually has been looking to rectify since she was appointed. But she had to take care of the laundry list of items that I discussed before. But she's doing that by, she instituted a $75 million capital raise. I believe that was announced in February. And so the idea here is the W has to improve when it comes to how it does merchandising, how its League Pass app functions, how a lot of its social media and digital platforming functions. So she's committed. She's committed to this league being as large as it can be and as successful as it can be. And she's very much so about erasing the narrative about the WNBA's health. She believes that she has gotten the WNBA to a point where it's not a question of whether or not it will exist. It's that the state of the WNBA is strong and it will only continue to grow.
Folks, she's Jackie Powell, tremendous sports journalist, and more. Bleacher Report, The Next. Learn about it all. Her Twitter handle is at ClassicJPowell. Also, visit JackieOPowell.wordpress.com. Catch lots of her work. She's kind enough to spend some time with us. Jackie, great getting a chance to speak with you. Really appreciate it. Get well. And as the season starts, I hope we could talk again soon.
Yeah, sounds great, Steve. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right, a lot of fun. You be well, take care of yourself, and like I said, I'll be in touch soon.
Sounds great.
All right, take care, Jackie.